All right, Hebrews chapter 11. Moving right along. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for all of your thoughts toward us, Lord, your grace, your kindness toward us. We thank you for the provision that you've given to us by your Holy Spirit and by your word. And we pray, Father, that we would be able to take in from that provision all that you have for us, that by your Spirit, by your word, by your grace, we might be filled with all the fullness of God, as is your purpose for us. And Father, we pray that as we continue to learn from your word, that we would be transformed by it in our lives to your glory. We pray it in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's just read the first few verses here. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now this, let's stop there for now. This chapter, of course, Hebrews chapter 11, we know is the great faith chapter of the Bible. And we are going to go down through here and see example after example after example of faith. And this chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, is that great faith chapter, much like 1 Corinthians 13 is that great love chapter. And the reason is similar between those two. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talks about charity, and it talks about it in very real and concrete terms. It takes that kind of intangible thing that we call love, and it puts it into it puts it into shoe leather, and it puts it into very it makes it very concrete and something you can grasp and get a hold of. That's what Hebrews 11 does with faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, faith is not some, it's not just a concept, and it's not some kind of ethereal thing that you can't really get a hold of. Hebrews chapter 11 describes faith, I think, like no other portion of Scripture, in terms of, there in verse 1, substance and evidence. Those words are concrete words. Those words are things that we associate with the material. Thank you, Pastor. With things that you can touch and stand on. And that's how, and faith here in Hebrews chapter 11 is brought out that way, like no other place in Scripture. And the implications of it in this context, as you go down through the passage and you see how faith, that intangible thing, affects things in our physical world. That's what this chapter is all about. How does that invisible, untouchable thing touch this physical world and life and things? So it starts out saying faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now there's two invisible things in that verse for two different reasons. One is things hoped for. And that is, when you talk about hope, you're talking about, hope is a forward-looking word. You're talking about something in the future. In other words, it doesn't exist yet, but it will So faith in the verse here is the substance of something that yet has no substance. Things hoped for. They will come to pass in the future, but where we stand right now, they don't exist. We're looking forward to them. Well, what exists now? What is the substance of those things now? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. Now, things not seen, that's not something that doesn't exist yet. That's something that exists now, but you just can't see it. So faith is the substance of that which as yet has no substance, and it is the evidence of things that are not perceptible by our senses. Now, what that is, as you go down through here, the illustrations of that in these first in these next two verses give us an idea of what the writer means, because when you talk about faith, how can you talk about it in terms of substance? And how can you talk about it in terms of evidence? When we think about evidence, hold your hand here, come back to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Because someone believes something, is that evidence that that thing is true? Well, not necessarily. All kind of people believe all kind of things that aren't true. So how does faith become evidence? And how is it substance? When we think about evidence, Romans chapter 1 gives us a good thought here in Romans chapter 1, verse 19. Paul says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So now there's some invisible things there in verse 20 that are clearly seen, that is, they're evidenced by things that you can see. So you know the invisible, you have evidence of the invisible by the things that you can see. So when we think about evidence, that's the kind of thing that we tend to think about, something that's tactile, something that you can that your senses can perceive. But the problem with that is the context of this passage here in Romans chapter 1, you see again at the end of that verse, the invisible things, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And if you know Romans chapter 1, you know it's a very negative portion of Scripture as far as its view of humanity in general. And the evidence there that's given to you in verse 20 works against the people who see it. Now, why? Well, come over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, just a few pages to your right, and we can see why that is. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Hi, Jim. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, Paul talks about some other invisible, intangible things. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, start it there. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now what Paul is talking about here is he's talking about the evidence for invisible things to you and me. See, we can look at the creation out here and we can see the beauty of it and the grandeur and the majesty of it, and we know that there's a God. But that is not self-evident to everyone. Because how that's perceived among people is different. Watch what he says as he goes on. Which things also we speak, verse 13, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Well, now, back in Romans chapter 1, what we saw was comparing physical things with spiritual. Taking those visible things, those material things, and making a connection between that and our understanding of some things that are immaterial and invisible. But Paul says, for you and me, we compare spiritual things with spiritual. And that comes back to that idea of faith being the substance and the evidence of things not seen. Because, verse 14 says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So that evidence of Romans chapter 1 there, the physical creation, that doesn't necessarily lead the natural man to the conclusion of God's eternal power and Godhead. Even though it's clear evidence to you and me, the natural man looks at that and he doesn't make that connection at all. And he, in fact, when you make it for him, he says, that's nonsense. That's foolish. So, that physical evidence, that visible evidence of invisible things really doesn't cut it. The true evidence of those invisible things is itself invisible. The true evidence, the true substance of those spiritual things is itself spiritual. It must be. And faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Let me give you an illustration. Let's take a faithful man, husband. He's, faithful to the core. He's like Job made a covenant with his eyes that he would not behold a maid, and like Joseph, just if some woman threw herself at him, he would run screaming out of the room, leaving his garment dangling in her hand. Okay. Now his wife has faith, has confidence, has trust in him because of his history of good and honest behavior, right? So while he's in her sight, his good behavior is the evidence of his own worthiness to be trusted, of his own faithfulness. While he's visible, his behavior and his history and his record are the evidence of his faithfulness. But what happens when he walks around the corner and she can't see him anymore? Well, she still trusts him. So now, what is the evidence of his faithfulness? She can't see him anymore. He's invisible to her. So now her trust, her faith, becomes the evidence of his trustworthiness to her. So faith in those invisible things, if we could see and stand before God face to face, we wouldn't need faith. He would be the evidence. But now our faith is the evidence of things not seen. And it's the substance of things hoped for. That passage there, come back there to Hebrews chapter 11 and look at it again. It represents faith in these very solid and real ways. And the point of the chapter, we're coming off of chapter 10, you remember, where the writer exhorts the readers to hold their faith. And don't let go and hold fast to the profession of it. And don't slide back into perdition and so forth. Don't take on that natural mind. Keep that faith real. That's the point. And that's why we're getting it in such concrete terms here in Hebrews chapter 11. Again, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Now you see that verse 2 starts with the word for. And it's explaining what he means by faith being the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Now come back with me to Proverbs chapter 22. Take a look at that. What the writer is saying there is that through faith, real things happen. Proverbs chapter 22. Now when we talk about real things, again, to the spiritual mind and to the natural mind, different images come up when you talk about things that are real. To the natural mind, you say something is real, there, that's real, right? To the spiritual mind, we understand that the things that are made, like the chapter goes on to say, are undergirded by things that were not made, things that are eternal, things that are invisible. And the visible world is the secondary. The real, the substance of this material world is immaterial, is invisible. The real things are not things you can knock on. The real things are the spiritual realities that are the cause. Everything that you see around you is an effect. It's secondary. The cause, the thing that works, that moves, that causes things to happen, is invisible and spiritual. Those are the real things. Proverbs chapter 22 says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. So there's some real things, great riches, silver and gold, those are real things, right? But Solomon says, there's something better. There's something more real than that real stuff. And that is a good name, loving favor, what Hebrews calls a good report. See, by faith, they obtained something real. They obtained not gold and silver, although some of them did, but they obtained a good report from God. So that faith created and was the catalyst and the cause for something real, something more real than the jingling in my pocket and in yours, and this pulpit and this world and all of these material things. So what the writer is trying to bring out is the true realities of life. Talking to these Hebrew believers who are about to go through some pretty harsh realities of their own, they need to be able to transcend what's happening in this physical world. And if they're going to survive it, they need to get above it. But I'll tell you what, you and me, if we're going to survive this Christian life, We need to be able to do the same. You know, Paul says there in the passage that we read that spiritual things are foolishness to the natural mind. And there is, and I'm going to use this illustration again, and I do every once in a while, I talk about quantum physics, and I apologize for that. And if I ever give the impression that I know anything about quantum physics, let me dispel that idea. Right, what I know about quantum physics, and a nickel will buy you a nickel's worth of whatever you're trying to buy. But what I do know about it is that it, you know, for hundreds of years, we were happy with, you know, Isaac Newton and all the rules that he, you know, every action has an equal and opposite reaction and all those rules we learned about in school. In what we now call classical physics, Newtonian physics, mechanical physics. And we have to call it that because about 100 years ago, one man in particular, Albert Einstein, came along and kind of took a huge monkey wrench and just threw it into the middle of all of that, of those works, and just really gummed up the whole thing when he started experimenting on invisible things. Things that were either too distant or too small to see. So he couldn't do those experiments the way Newton did by observation, take a ball, roll it down a ramp and get some ideas about gravity and friction and all of that kind of stuff. He couldn't do that because he was dealing with things that were invisible. So he did the experiments in his mind. And he made some predictions by doing that that turned out to be so and proved his theories correct, at least as far as we can tell. But what he found out about that invisible world was that it doesn't play by the same rules as those, you know, Newtonian physics that we all knew and loved for hundreds of years. It breaks all of those rules. And when Einstein published some of his papers, theory of relativity and all those things that we know, there were probably 8 or 10 people on the planet who could even begin to wrap their mind around what he was talking about. And what it did was it created a whole new world of physics that we call quantum physics. And we have to separate that from the classical Newtonian physics. It's a whole different realm. And what a physicist will tell you today, if you read them or talk to them, is that in order to really operate in that realm of those very small things or very distant things, and to get a hold of those laws, how that invisible world operates, you need to rewire your mind. You need to learn how to think in a whole different way, because that world is so alien from anything that we know, from anything that we experience by our senses, that you can't just say, I'm going to be a quantum physicist and go and be one, you know, read a bunch of books and find out the facts and figures and the calculations and be one. You need to change the way you think. Actually transform your process of thought in order to move in that world. And the reason is because the things that happen in that world are nonsense. They're foolish. The things in the invisible world, compared to classical physics and the things that we see in our experience, are foolish. Things time slows down and becomes non-existent under some circumstances. Time ceases to exist. Things move from point A to point B without traversing the distance between. See, we think about that, and you can't wrap your mind around that. It doesn't follow the rules. It's nonsense to the natural mind, to the classical physical mind. So in order to be profitable and move and exist in that invisible realm, you need to transform the way you think as a physicist. And I'll say to you this morning that the people of God have been called to do exactly that from the beginning of time. To think in a way that's different, radically different, than the natural mind would allow. In order to move and live and affect things in that invisible world, you need to rewire your mind. You need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a whole other mindset. It doesn't connect logically with things visible. It plays by a whole other set of rules. You think to yourself, oh, gee, I'm in a little bit of a jam here. I know what I got to do. I've got to lie. Because if that person knows what I did, then that would not be good. And I'm going to get myself out of this jam just by saying something that wasn't true. Right? Well, that's in the world. Paul says we have not received the spirit of the world. Well, that makes perfect sense. But in that invisible world, walking around like that physicist, walking around inside the nucleus of an atom and watching protons and neutrons whizzing by and being able to reach out and touch one of them and know what it's going to do. And it's not going to do what it might do in the physical world. It's not like knocking two billiard balls together. It does something completely crazy. But because he knows that world, he knows what the rules are. Well, you and me, we walk in that spiritual, invisible realm. And we know what the effects are of a lie here, of a theft here, of an unfaithful action here. We know that those things reverberate out into the universe, and that God is touched by the things that we do, by the things that we don't do. We know that there is a substance and a reality beyond this physical world that is the foundation and the underlying cause of it, so that when you touch things in that invisible realm, real repercussions happen, even though you may not be able to see them. It's a whole new way of thinking. When you get into that world and you're transformed by the renewing of your mind, and you learn, you kind of cross that barrier, that faith barrier, and get to the other side, you're walking around in that invisible world, and you see things that can't be seen. Look in 2 Corinthians. You know things. You perceive things. The evidence by which your life functions becomes something spiritual. And those spiritual things you realize are more real, 2 Corinthians, than those physical things. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The the passage there in Hebrews goes on to say that we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, and the things which are made were not made of things which do appear. So again, the point being, the physical is a result of that first thing, that greater thing, that more real thing that's invisible. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, Paul says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So now there's a few things there in that verse. One is the same idea of what we're seeing in Hebrews chapter 11, the superiority, the excellence, the supremacy of things that are not seen over things that are seen. And the comparison and the excellency that's given to you in the verse there is that things that are not seen are eternal, and things that are seen are temporal. Now, if I was to ask you which is greater, something eternal or something temporal, you would automatically, we all would say eternal, just by the very nature of the thing. Eternal is greater than temporary. So it is self-evident in that way, that those invisible things are the greater. You notice too in that verse, that verse says that you have never laid your eyes on one single eternal thing. Have you ever thought about that? You have never seen an eternal thing. You say, well, you're eternal, I'm eternal. Well, that's true, but what you see, that's not eternal. That's going to turn to dust. We're going to leave that behind either in the grave or at the rapture, one way or the other. We're getting rid of this, right? The Word of God is eternal. But I can tell you right now, these pages are getting kind of shot on this book as we're standing here, the things deteriorating before me. You can't see a single eternal thing. You never have. The eternal things are invisible. Those invisible things are eternal things. Again, existing in a whole other world, a whole other realm, and a higher realm. That realm that you and I are called to walk in and to move about in and to wonder at and be in awe of. And a fact, because we know the rules, how that invisible universe works. Something else there. You see, he says, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. We look at things that are not seen. So you've never seen an eternal thing with your eyes, and yet we are called to look at things that are not seen. Well, how do you do that? Well, you do that with the eyes of faith. See, in that world, faith is a substance. In that world, faith is an evidence. That's the world that you and I, as the children of God, are called to live in and to walk in. It's not something that's just added to our life. It's a whole other way of thinking. It's about unplugging your natural thinking process and rewiring completely, being transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a whole other world. We're called to walk that, to live that. Look over in later on in chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. We walk by faith, not by sight. So you close your eyes in this other world, right? and you open the eyes of faith. And what that does is it causes you to do things that make no sense. It causes you to do things like preaching the gospel until they're beating you with rods and dragging you through the mud and throwing you into prison and all of those things that Paul and the others do. Paul said, if I be beside myself, it is to God. If I'm nuts, if I'm crazy, it's to God. See, Paul knew what it was to live by those other rules that the natural man sees as absolute foolishness. Because the natural man doesn't see what's real. You and I, we do. We're called to see it. We're called to look at things that are not seen. And when you do that, back in Hebrews 11, you understand how that faith is a substance and how that faith is an evidence. It is in that real world that we're called to live in. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. So now in that verse, faith is kind of seen, and we looked at Proverbs 22, comparing that good report, that good name, to money. Faith in verse 2 there is kind of seen as a currency, isn't it? By faith, the elders obtained something. In exchange for their faith, they obtained a good report. And again, that's that trading something real for something real. And that good report is, you're given examples on down through the passage, just a couple of verses there in verse 4, and I don't think we're going to get this far this morning, but by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift. So Abel got that good report. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Look over at the end of the chapter, verse 39. After it gets done listing all of these great heroes of the faith, it says, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, receive not the promises, because God was waiting for us. So faith in this chapter, in Hebrews chapter 11, is so real and so concrete and so tangible that it's actually spoken of as a currency. It is the currency in that invisible world. That is, God rewards faith. Verse 6 says, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So you get that idea there in the passage. And again, the profit that's there is not silver and gold. A good name is better to be had than those that material wealth. What you're looking for is you're looking for spiritual wealth, invisible wealth that is real wealth, substantial wealth, not that stuff that rust corrupts and moth eats, that temporal stuff that's not going to be around for eternity. That's not real. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Well, now we're back to Romans 1, right, in verse 20. That's that physical world. We can look around and we understand, but you know, in Romans 20 there, it says that those physical things are evidence of invisible things. Here, it says that it's by faith we understand that the things that are made were not made of things which do appear. That the visible is undergirded, created, comes into being by the moving of the invisible. That the invisible is the first cause, and that the visible is a product, an effect. By faith we understand that, because we've already seen that natural witness to the natural mind doesn't connect to spiritual things. It should, and they're left without excuse because they have that self-evident creation in themselves to look at, but they don't make those connections. So the way that that connection is made between the physical and the visible and the invisible, that the bridge between is spiritual. It's a spiritual bridge in between. Otherwise, it's just an insurpassable chasm, a gulf that you can't get over. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. We understand that from Genesis chapter 1, right? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Well, there you go. That's all you need to know. What's the problem, right? You got that. That's simple enough. You know, those quantum physicists, I was flipping through the channels not too long ago, and I came across, I've got college broadcast channels on my short list on my TV, because they always have sometimes interesting, sometimes whacked out things on those university channels. And I came across the title, The Origin of All Things. And I said, wow, that sounds interesting. So I turned that on, and it in fact wasn't. It was a lecture. And it wasn't a lecture about the origin of all things, as I suspected it wouldn't be, because the lecture started with a dot, and from that dot, the universe exploded into being, right? And I thought to myself, well, I thought you were going to be talking about origins. See, in their mind, that's what they're talking about. Of course, the obvious question is, where did the dot come from? If we're going to start with a dot, we're not talking about origins, right? So that's that, because they do not like to retain God in their knowledge, professing themselves, he was a professor up there giving that lecture, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they trade those invisible things, discount that, and make the visible all there is. And the visible isn't the real stuff. The invisible is the real stuff. But they disregard that whole world because they can't walk in that world. They can't live in that world. The rules of that world are nonsense, foolishness to them. Just like if you sat and listened to a quantum physicist talk for 15 minutes, you'd say, you're nuts. Because it requires a whole different, a whole other way of thinking, of seeing things. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. And still we're following that idea of the invisible things, the spiritual things, being the real things. That the things that you can touch were brought into existence by things that you can't. Look back in chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 2. Chapter 1. Let's back up one more chapter. Hebrews chapter 1, right at the beginning of the book. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So Hebrews 11 says, by the word of God the worlds were made. Hebrews 1 says that by Jesus Christ the worlds were made. And you don't have to study that out too far to realize that those are one and the same. He is the word of God. Who, being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. You see that? Those invisible things upholding the visible things. That spiritual reality is the thing that maintains this physical reality. It undergirds it. It's the foundation. It's the substance of it. Those eternal things surpass the temporal. The invisible surpasses the visible. The immaterial surpasses the material. That other world is actually the concrete world. Is the real world. This world that came from it is going to pass away. That one won't. We will leave it there. Do you have a question? Yes, ma'am. Open the window. Yeah.
And all of a sudden you can breathe.
Well, praise
and
God.
That transitory thing just happens like that.
Yeah.
That's the spiritual.
It's another world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm talking to my sister last night, and she is constantly trying to find the meaning of so many things in the Bible, as so many of us are.
Yeah.
Understands, but she doesn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Because the confusion is so thick right now, when she wants to hear the